Very nice. What is our Prabhu's name? Abhishek. You gave us an Abhishek of the holy name. It's nice that already at the beginning of the Pandavasena summer trip, it's boiling over with enthusiasm, and the sound waves come out of the window just like milk which is boiling over and comes over the edge of the pot, flowing everywhere. Very, very nice. I'm very happy to see all of you for this evening session on one of Krishna's qualities, which the living entity, that is we, all of us, can develop. And we will have hopefully an interesting and fascinating journey. We will hear about the quality, then we will hear about how we can develop it, and then a very, very interesting guest will come here and totally move us to the core of our heart. Who this guest is, what he will do, is and remains a surprise until when he comes. Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesterday we started our seminar with the first part, which was the Tree of Life. You might remember we had discussed that for a successful life here in this world and beyond, we do need three areas of our lives to be intact. The three areas are we need to have deep roots through which we are nourished, roots which lead into eternity. Then we need to have a lifestyle which can be compared to the trunk of the tree, a lifestyle which can carry us in dignity through this world. And finally, we need the crown of the tree, or our contributions to others. I was very delighted to hear that His Holiness Kandamba Kanana Maharaj in his lecture this morning spoke about a dynamic principle of this tree of life, and that is that we always have to balance the three areas. He gave the example of a juggler who throws three balls and needs to see that there remains a flow so that the balls remain in the air. And these three balls he identified to be sadhana, or spiritual practice, which in the picture of the tree of life relates to the roots. Then he spoke of a supportive lifestyle, that's the trunk of the tree. And then he also spoke about our contributions to others. I sincerely want to encourage all of you to think about this analogy deeply and to start to organize your lives in such a way that you can have the three areas intact, or that the three balls, if we take the example of our Maharaj, remain in a good flow, and in this way there is a healthy thing. There will be a book coming out which is written only for the Pandavasenas, which will discuss these concepts in depth. But now I would like to take you a step further. I would like to talk about qualities which are emanating originally from Krishna, in which we as living entities can imbibe in our own lives for an improved life. These qualities, they can be, seen as part as the trunk which holds us, our lifestyle, our values, our principles. And today we will focus on one particular quality. But first, before we can start, I would like to read to you something from Srila Prabhupada's lecture about developing qualities. I think it is very important that we understand this philosophical concept very nicely. In this lecture, Srila Prabhupada will compare Krishna with a big fire and us with a little spark which emanates from the fire. The more we become uncovered from the smoke and dust of material consciousness, the more our fiery quality, which is coming from the fact that we are parts of Krishna, will become apparent. So he speaks about this, and I would like to really say it in his own words. Krishna has got 64 good qualities in full. We are minute particles of Krishna. Therefore, we have also got those qualities, but in minute quantity. But these good qualities are now covered. Just like fire is covered by the ashes, so it does not act. Thank you, Sahil. Prabhupada once told me I should become a water carrier, and you are doing this today. These good qualities in us are now covered, Prabhupada says, just like fire, which is covered by ashes. Then it does not act. So we are fire. Krishna is fire. We are also fire in quality. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that we should develop our divine qualities. Just like a spark who has this fire, the fire from the fire should shine forth. It should illuminate. It should glow. It should put other things into fire. No? This is what we do really during this Pandavasena summer camp. We want to uncover our original spiritual nature, which then shines forth and blazes forth and makes us into strong spiritually vibrant personalities. So one of these qualities of Krishna which can be developed by you is magnanimous. Krishna is vadanya or magnanimous. Srila Rupa Goswami describes what it means to be magnanimous. He says, he who is a heroic giver is called magnanimous. Any person, says Prabhupada, who is very charitably disposed is also called magnanimous. But I like this word, heroic giver. In a Vaishnav philosophy, we find three heroic givers. One is the desire tree, the Kalpa Viksha tree. Whatever you want, you can get from a desire tree. Not just oranges or kiwi fruits, but also chariots, or I guess in this age, Rolls Royces. Then there is the Kamadenu cow, the cow of plenty. It comes from another realm, the mystic heavenly planets. And it can also supply banquets and many things, not just milk or the milk products. And then there is the legendary Chintamani stone, which can turn any metal which you have. It can be a knife of a butcher or a knife of a priest into a golden knife, just upon contact. So these are all examples of heroic givers, but Krishna gives more than the Kamadenu cow, than the Kalpa Briksha tree, and than the Chintamani tree. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami which says, Krishna, the slayer of Kamsa, completely satisfied the desires of all those who approached him with a wish. There, by rendering worthless the Chintamani jewel, the Kamadenu cow, and the Kalpadruma tree, who now, with humility, worship Krishna's royal city of Dwaraka. So Krishna is more than the mystical Chintamani gem, able to give unlimited riches. Krishna is more able than even the wish-fulfilling desire tree to fulfill all desires. And Krishna can take better care of even the heavenly Kamadenu cow, of all those who approach him. There is a verse which describes to you how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since innumerable time, or no, eternal time, is supplying all the different living entities. And I would like to sing this verse to you. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman tam atmastam ye nupashyanti diras tesham shanti shashvati netaresham. Of the innumerable eternal conscious beings, there is one eternal supreme being. You are all conscious and you are eternal, but out of all of you, there's one special being. He maintains the innumerable living beings according to individual work and the reaction of work. By his expansion as Paramatma, that Supreme Lord is also present within the heart of every living being. Only through saintly persons who can see that Supreme Lord within and without can one attain perfect and eternal peace. Let us summarize. There are innumerable eternal beings, but they are all maintained by the Supreme Lord since time immemorial. Whatever wish you have ultimately has been granted to you by that Supreme Lord. You wish to be born in a family in London, and so Krishna arranged that you took your birth in London. You wish to come here to the Pandava Sena trip and visit Radha Desh, and somehow there was money, there was an invitation, there was everything which was required to come here. You wish to pass an examination in your university, and you passed if it was your karma. If it was not your karma, Krishna will have arranged something else for you. So in whatever way the living entity desires, Krishna, since in time immemorial, has been granted this. And this means he's very magnanimous. He doesn't have a stingy heart. He gives freely. I was once sitting in the Bhaktivedanta Manor before Radha Gokulananda, and I was chanting many rounds at that time and sat for a few hours, and I saw through these 4 hours or few hours something which amazed me. I saw how there was an elderly lady Gujarati, all white hair, praying for something. And when she turned around, her eyes was full of light. She seemed to have gotten the security that her wish was fulfilled. Then I saw a desperate brahmachari praying, and I could hear him because he was spoke in English. "Oh Lord, let me remain a brahmachari." And when he turned around, his eyes were glowing with security. Then I heard a lady coming, a brahmacharini, speaking in Serbian language, and because I know 50% Serbian, I could understand. Moi jelje means my desire is to marry that brahmachari. And when she turned around and left the altar, her eyes were glowing with appreciation. It seemed that she felt Krishna had also fulfilled her desire in some way. So Krishna, since time immemorial, fulfills the desires. He keeps the karma of the living entity in one eye, but then he will make an arrangement accordingly. This is how the verse informs us, that all the desires of the living entities are fulfilled. Even there are ants in Vrindavan who pray, "Let us get a piece of sugar to eat." And I saw there was, I didn't hear them praying this. I don't know the ant language. But what I saw is one morning a sadhu came and had a bag with sugar and gave sugar grains in the ant holes in which were on the footpath around Giriraj, around Govardhan. Krishna somehow inspires and arranges through his form as Paramatma, the super soul, who is the overseer and director to fulfill the living entity's desires. This is how magnanimous he is. We hear that while Krishna was staying in his island town, Dwaraka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each expansion resided in a palace with a queen. Now I have to look. Daily, each day, Lord Krishna gave 13,000, listen to this, 13,054 lavishly ornamented cows in charity from each of his 16,108 palaces. I really had to take my calculator to figure this one out, and it amounts to he gave 208 million cows daily. And you know, anyone who can donate so much is truly a magnanimous person. Of all of Krishna's incarnation, those who came later, after Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praised as the most magnanimous incarnation. There is a prayer which says, "I offer my most respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given before, pure love of Krishna. Please chant this verse with me? I think you will know it. Namo Mahavananaya Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Nama. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace people as he was going through South India and gave them what not even Krishna had given so freely. Pure love of Godhead. I remember there was one Leela about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a washerman, a dhobi, who was with his donkey at the side of a river and he washed his cloth. When all of a sudden he saw a shadow next to him. And by looking at the shadow, he knew this is a begging monk, a sannyasi. So in India, there is a secret. Never look into the eye of a beggar. If you have done this, then you are somehow moved to give him something. So the dhobi looked some other way. He didn't want to give. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this, he addressed him sweetly, "I have not come to ask you for material things like money." "Oh no?" So the dhobi looked up and he had a marriage quarrel. He was very disturbed and he looked up into the smiling face of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described he had long elongated eyes which reached to his ears and a very beautiful smile. "I have come to you to beg you only one thing. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra." And the dhobi, who felt, "Well, that I can do," started to chant. But as he chanted, something happened he was not prepared for. He became overwhelmed with ecstatic love of Godhead and started to dance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and went further on his road. But that same evening in the village, the wife, who was quarreling with her husband, told to the people, "My husband has not returned from the river. Can you please go and find him?" When they went, they only saw someone dancing madly, ecstatically, uproariously, chanting Govinda, Gopala, and everything. They returned after looking at other places and saw, "We didn't find your husband, we only found a dancing madman." Imagine one of you would start to become ecstatic. We would feel, if Makhanlal started to dance and chant ecstatically, we would feel, "Oh, hopefully he is for real," like everyone else of us. We would feel astonished. So the villagers felt that same astonishment. They couldn't believe that this was the same morose person. How is he now so ecstatic? They didn't believe that. Because he was the only chance, the only hint, the only warm trail, so to say, to find that dhobi, the whole village went and saw him dancing on the shore of the river. He had danced for hours and he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love of Krishna. All his moroseness had disappeared. When his wife said, "My husband," he looked at her and laughed joyously. And when she saw her husband so much fulfilled in Krishna consciousness, it is described by the biographies that all her misery went from her heart and she also chanted and transcendental love of God. This is magnanimity, an overwhelming gift of love which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everyone who crossed his way, including animals. Our Naveen Krishna Prabhu has reported to us when the Queen of England visited the Avanti Krishna School, she was asked to unveil a big painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in the Jharikhanda forest and disputing love of Godhead. You must have seen this picture. There are the tigers dancing on their back feet, embracing deers, and the elephants are making the trumpet orchestra. So the queen looked at this painting and asked very innocently, "What is the gentleman doing?" Maybe she thought he's on a peace mission and makes peace amongst the animals, and that's why this picture was there, to remind the children to be peaceful in their school. Maybe she had some thought like this, but it was explained to her, no, he's distributing love of God and beyond even the borders of species. Normally, animals don't do that. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be the most magnanimous incarnation of God. And he asked all his devotees to be also magnanimous to others. I think we heard this morning from our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. He quoted a verse where he repeated an order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which says that every person should be charitable to others with his body, mind, and intelligence, and also words. My dear devotees, I want to encourage you to become magnanimous. Magnanimity is the opposite to stinginess. Maybe you are sometimes feeling a little stingy, a little keeping things for yourself, being a little bit on your self-centered. This is not so good as being magnanimous and being freely giving. When you are stingy, it closes the heart. It's like the talons of a dragon squeezing your heart. Talons? Do we say this? Talons? When you are magnanimous and giving, it opens your heart and you become very, very attractive. Once there was a question, how does a person become loving? How does a person become lovable? Lovable. And the answer which Yudhishthira gave to this question is by giving up enviousness of others. The moment you open your heart and you really think, how can I do something for the benefit of others? Your heart widens and you become lovable for the whole world. Bhakti means as you become purified, more and more purified, you will develop this quality of magnanimity. Oh my God, this is such an English. Yes, this word, this enigmatic word. You become magnanimous, in other words. Once Krishna walked through the forest of Vrindavan and he saw the trees of Vrindavan giving shade and fruits to all. And he addressed Balaram. He says, my dear friends, I think these trees are glorified. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. No one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facility to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words, in engaging in the welfare of all living entities. You might think, Sachinandan Swami, I'm so poor. If I become magnanimous, I will be on the streets of London with this little head in front of me begging, homeless person, please give £2 to me, you know. But I want to tell you a different experience. When I was young in Krishna consciousness, I just interested like some of you here, I came one day, I came to the temple, and the devotees in Hamburg said, we want to see Srila Prabhupada in London, but we have no money. We can't afford the journey. So they knew that I came from a family of means, and they looked at me, can you help us? I felt like, my God, this is now an inauspicious start, you know, of a relationship. I've just come maybe 7 times and they asked me for money. And if a whole temple of 60, 70 people needs journey money, travel money, this is a serious donation which they want. So I went home. I said, no, I have nothing. But then I was in the house and I felt how the stinginess was really disturbing me. I had lied. I was able to give the Lakshmi, no problem. But I kept it for myself. And I just could feel how I felt miserable. Then the next morning I got up very early, went to the temple, and I said, how many are you? And they gave me the number, and I said, how much is a ticket back and forth, and what do you need to stay in London? And they gave me the number, and then I said, this is a surprise for you, and went to the bank and came with all the Lakshmi back. And I still remember to this day, when I gave that donation to the poor devotees of Krishna, I felt how this iron bonds, this iron chains which had squeezed my heart of selfish stinginess just broke. And I felt so good in giving them the donation. I still remember they all went and bought a ticket on the ship, and I, keeping my values of an independent person alive, went for free on the ship. In other words, I just sneaked with them in the ship and hid in the ship like Tom Sawyer or Huckleberry Finn. I was a little rebellious against the society, so I thought I go for free. But I still remember the tremendous satisfaction which I felt in opening my heart and trying to be a little magnanimous. I still remember this as something which affected me very deeply. And to this day, I like to be magnanimous, giving, being charitable, and so on. You know, we are Brahmanas, and there are 6 duties of a Brahmana. First is to study the scriptures. Second is to perform sacrifice. And third is to live by receiving charity. We heard about this point this morning. But we have also 3 duties. That is to teach the scripture. In other words, we just don't read it all for ourselves. We are meant to be magnanimous. We are meant to teach. We have the duty to perform yajna for the benefit of others, priestly activities. And we are meant to give in charity also. We receive, but then we give. This is very important for a spiritual person to keep his integrity by being magnanimous and not selfish. I will now soon introduce to you a theater act, the surprise of the evening. But I would like to end this part with a poem. even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights up the whole sky. Be magnanimous, maybe not like this. I mean, we are not like suns, but small Pandavasena suns. And give to others freely. Remember how Krishna never denies any living entity. May it be the lady from Gujarati or the brahmachari from the brahmachari ashram or the Serbian martyr Jew who has flown to London and looking for a British husband to solve all her visa problems forever. Krishna always makes appropriate arrangements somehow or other by being so magnanimous. Should we not also extend ourselves a little bit? We can give, maybe we are poor, we can give, cannot give Lakshmi, but we can give time, we can give attention, or we can do what you did. I remember this morning I was talking with a small group of devotees, all of a sudden the tent started to move around. It looked mystical, as if it was enlivened by a magical charm, but it was only the Pandavasenas moving it around. But you were magnanimous with your strengths, with your intelligence. You did give that back to Krishna in devotional service. And have you noticed when you do these services, when you give your intelligence, your mind, how Krishna responds? He wants this. So I would like to now welcome our dear Syamananda Prabhu, who will give us a presentation on this quality. I would request all of you to encourage Syamananda by giving him a roaring applause. Bravo! Bravo! Thank you.
I drove the whole way and they barely gave me enough luck even to cover the petrol. What a speak of a little something to repeat the endeavor. What is this? Huh? Huh? How did you come? Some sort of tight-fisted, hard-hearted creepin' up who's only going to do our service if we get paid? Is this what Rupa Goswami talked about when he defined pure devotional service as anya vilasita sunyam jnana karma anavritam? Am I the only one who remembers why we joined the Krishna conscious movement? To attain pure love of God, of Krishna? And here we are, deciding we want to do a little service for a devotee, frightened that it might cause a little inconvenience.
Ignore him. He's only trying to put on a show again.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
I am
yes,
not.
You are.
Ignore that. Pick it up.
No.
Ignore it.
No.
Pick it up.
Haribol, yeah? Yeah?
I told you this is going to be trouble.
Shh.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a bit late now.
Yeah, tell them. Forget it, forget it. You need to take rest now.
Stop it. We can catch up with some rest tomorrow.
Actually, listen, listen. It's no problem. I'll come and do it. Just wait there. I'll be there in about half an hour, okay? Okay, no.
See? See? Why don't you listen to me? Now your schedule's all messed up and you'll be exhausted all day tomorrow because of this.
I don't care. Somebody needed some help and Krishna sent them to me. I'm happy to help.
That's the spirit. This is the Vaishnava mentality.
Bravo! 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 Hare Krishna. So there was not just one mind, there were two minds. And we say we are in two minds sometimes. Huh? And, thank you very much for your thought-provoking and very good presentation of magnanimity. If you want to be magnanimous, you will most probably hear that other voice in you which gives all reasons why you should be stingy. But if you decide for that voice which encourages you to be stingy, you actually lose a chance to develop a quality of Krishna. Remember the statement of Srila Prabhupada, who said that we are sparks of the fire, so we have the same qualities. We just must connect ourselves with the fire so that these qualities shine forth. So if a devotee in a situation where he could be stingy, where he could remain self-centered, makes the decision, no, I will become an instrument of Krishna's mercy, I will help, then he will be empowered or connected by the fire which is Krishna, and his little spark will get a lot of energy. All of us who have made this experience to go out of our way and decide to become connected with Krishna and instruments of Krishna, not be selfishly stingy, have seen how a fire of enthusiasm has all of a sudden empowered us. And that's the word of empowerment. Empower means some power, some potency is given to you if you just connect. So I would like to now take this discussion which we had and what we saw a little into a little exercise which I request all of you to do. Please stay for this exercise. It is important. You will have to build groups of two. So please do this. Find your partner with whom you will discuss something. And then I will give you the task. And you will see something good will come out. So please find your partner. Has everyone found a partner by now? Or let me ask like this. Who has not yet... Oh, my dear devotees, you don't yet know what is the exercise, but you are already very enthusiastic. So, may I see, has anyone not yet found a partner? Please raise your hand and look around. Then you can find the partner. Dobro. Now we start. Listen very carefully. Imagine a person in your life who wishes to have something from you. Maybe attention, maybe a gift, maybe some time, but you still hesitate to give it. Tell your partner about it, means a concrete situation. There's my brother, and he always says we should spend more time, but I really don't want to be with that jerk. Tell your partner about it, and then tell them how you could act more magnanimously towards them. Is the task clear? Identify a person whom you should, who wants something from you. Maybe you can even find people who you have met in the past, and you were not there for them. Mostly these are persons who are now dead, you know? And they invited you, but you did not show up. Imagine relationships. Some of you might even think of Krishna, whom you have ignored. Whatever it is, remember a situation, share it with your partner, and then say how you could be more magnanimous in the future. Please start now. Hare Krishna, one more minute. Please bring your discussion to the end, and if you have not yet given the other person a chance, now is the time to do it. One more minute. Oh, I think that. Krishna, I would like to thank you very much for involving in this, and would like to place this lecture to the place where it belongs. Remember, we are talking in the evening about the tree of life, and we are talking about the trunk which holds up the tree. In our lives, we are really held up by qualities, by principles, by values which inform our actions and our thoughts. First our thoughts, then our actions. And this quality of being magnanimous, I can't say the substantial words, magnanimity, something like this. This quality will really help you to go through life. And I would love to encourage you to start with this quality. Just think what great personalities like Srila Prabhupada have done, what austerities they have gone to come to the West, to distribute Krishna consciousness selflessly so that we can derive these teachings and also practical culture of life. What others have gone through us. Even you can think of the qualities of your own mother or father. Mother has carried you for 9 months under her heart and nourished you selflessly so that you are now here with us. Think of the things which others have done for you. And don't forget Krishna has given you enough air to breathe, enough food to eat. How magnanimous, how selfless. And if you can just learn to connect with that type of energy, that type of qualities, that kind of lifestyle, you will experience something. In the beginning, you will experience great relief from this stinginess, and after some time, you will feel to be an instrument in Krishna's hands, who doesn't have to think about his maintenance. If you are magnanimous, compassionate, and so on, you will see wonders unfolding in your life. This lifestyle is very good. This is something to bring into one's life. And I really want to thank our Syamananda Prabhu who brought it in such a visible thing, because there's always an obstacle in us which keeps us or holds us back from being magnanimous. God. I have ended my presentation here. I'm just looking at the wristwatch. We have 5 more minutes for questions, and then we will engage in a nice little evening kirtan. Mm-hmm. So there is one Mataji. I remember your name. I think it was Parvati, isn't it? Palika. Good. Mm-hmm. What is the word? Let us we magnanimity. Correct? Can you say it in the microphone? I mean, we are supposed to be intelligent. Say magnanimity. Acha. Magnanimity. Acha. Thank you. Yes. How do you avoid being taken advantage of? Yeah. This is a very good question which you have asked. How do you avoid being taken advantage of when you are magnanimous? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to really see from what motivation the request comes. It is coming from an actual need, a real need, or is it coming from something else? For instance, an exploitative mentality. And once you have seen, have gotten an answer to this question, which is quite easy to see. The real needs can be easily perceived because real needs are always proper. Real needs, do you know this? Like when someone comes to you and he's hungry and he really says, I'm hungry. You can feel immediately the punch of reality. It has that real ring to it. But when someone is just greedy, he has eaten. When he says, "I'm hungry," you just know you are not. You know, you know that, because reality always speaks in a different language than falsity, unless there are some con people and what to do there. You can't really always say. But if there is a real perceived need. Mothers know this when their children cry, when their child like, "Mama, Mama," and they play around, then the mother knows, okay, I'm not so necessary now, I can keep on cooking. But when the child goes, "Mama," then the mother leaves everything behind and just follows the sound of that calling. So real needs or real things can be seen. If you are serious, you just have to tune yourself in and ask this question: does this person have a real need or not? I want to tell you, I will never ever forget this sadhu in Govardhan who went on his way to Govardhan town and had this bag of sugar. I told you in the beginning, and gave these grains of sugar into every ant hole. And I asked him, "What are you doing?" Because I didn't see that he was feeding ants. I only saw that he was bowing down and taking something from a bag. And he said, "You know, here are many living entities or many devotees of Giriraj in this area." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "The ants are also here." And I felt it was so nice to see him fulfilling a real need, because the ants are very hungry, whereas the fat Indians who do Govardhan Parikrama may not be really hungry. I really saw that he was fulfilling a real need. And I thought, as he was serving the ant population, how nice. But it was a very good question. Yes, some people are also energy suckers. They just leech onto you, and they want to become like, I don't know, they can't live their life on their own, and then they leech on to you to live your life, and then you have to sometimes be very strict and straightforward and say, "I think it's time for you to take responsibility for your life into your hands," like this. That is also there. Here on the Pandava Sena trip, please practice being magnanimous, and you will practice this. You know, you have heard now something, so tomorrow you could practice and you will see a difference. You will really see a difference. It's mystical, because being stingy, you are disconnected from Krishna and his energy, and being magnanimous when it's appropriate, you know, doing services or giving attention, you will feel all of a sudden connected. You can immediately feel it. It's not very esoteric or very up in the sky. It's something you can immediately feel. Krishna Kirtan. I can hear you, yes? Mm-hmm. Do you have his permission? Yes, good. Thank you very much, Maharaj. This shows your noble qualities. Really? Yeah. Thank you very much, and we are very, very charmed by your good example, which you are giving. You give yourself so freely. I know that often, because of travels, our Kadamba Ganana Maharaj is really traveling so fast, and then comes another Ratha Yatra, and the devotees asked him to lead usually the opening kirtan, because it is an open secret that our Maharaj is very enthusiastic in his kirtan, and then they expect him to dance and to chant very vigorously, and he may like to be a little bit in the back, but he always is magnanimous and gives his energy and his enthusiasm, and then one is nourished by Krishna. Very nice. Thank you very much for exalted spiritual master and his exalted disciple who shared something real with us. Thank you. Good. This will be unfortunately the last question because time is also there. Yes, Prabhu, please.
So you say how we're the same in quality but not in quantity. So I wanted to understand that where is the point where we kind of stop? What kind of stops us from becoming like God? Where is that cut off point? I want to understand what's the kind of difference like that.
Yes. May I try to rephrase your question in my conceptual word? I think you said we are the sparks and Krishna is the fire. So we are qualitatively the same, but quantitatively different. And what now cuts us off the connection with Krishna, through which our fiery quality can manifest as sparks. Have I understood correctly or not? Please correct me.
Like, what stops us from becoming like God? What's the difference?
Like God. Yeah. Yes. What stops us from being, from becoming godly? Like God. Yeah. It is. What stops us from being godly? It's darkness, inner darkness, which has five shadows. You know, we all know about outer darkness, where we can no longer walk and find our goal. But inner darkness is even more dangerous than outer darkness. And it starts with avidya, forgetting Krishna. Then asmita, developing a false identity. Then from there, developing raga or different attachments. And dvesha, that we don't like certain things. And finally, our, you know, being cut away from our real nature manifests in abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means deep absorption in material life. So this inner darkness, avidya, is the cause of our turning away from Krishna and becoming ungodly. And therefore, the knowledge about Krishna the torchlight of knowledge, as we say, can destroy this inner darkness. inner darkness takes us away, it separates us. Now, I still remember one very nice lecture from Kadamba Kanana Maharaj in Cologne, where he said something which is in connection with this topic, being magnanimous. And it made a lot of sense, and it makes a lot of sense. He said, if you wish to progress in your spiritual life, that means come closer to Krishna, you should see what is a sacrifice which you can do. Because sacrifice will bring you to the next level. Sacrifice of different things, you know. So I want to encourage all of you who are here listening to this subject of magnanimity. It's when you hear it once, you just have to use a bridge in your mind. It's first magna and then nimity. With N it starts, then you have it, the word. So you will need to make a little sacrifice. Like, remember that when it came to, the devotee was asked, can you get me from the train station? And one side in him said, no, I mean, if I do this, I will go late to bed, and then I will be mental all day. And then the other voice said, but if you can catch up with the sleep. But ultimately, he had to make a little sacrifice. He had to say, okay, I do it, you know. This little step you have to always do, and then you become more connected with Krishna. You overcome that inner darkness and so on. And this is why being magnanimous is such a good area for practice. You can do it every day, and you can every day appropriately step forward. You can see what can you give. Sometimes you don't have time and you have to say, I'm sorry, at this moment I have no time. But if you do have, then you should give. And you will enter a stream of Krishna's plan and so on. Please try. You have now this summer camp or summer retreat is something where I would like to encourage you to immediately try what you have understood and then make your own particular realizations on this. Tomorrow we have another quality, coming attractions. Tomorrow is a difficult one. Truthful. Because we all just maintain ourselves with these small little lies. Huh? Tomorrow is a little existential, but it's not too much. No one of you will blush. It is very decent and, you know, but it's very interesting. Good. So I would like to end here. Now we will have a time of kirtan. We will conclude the time, the evening with the kirtan. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for being with us. Have a nice rest. Haribo. Can I request those who play instruments to come here forward? And then who plays the madanga this evening? Arjuna? Yes. There will be Krishna. Please sit down. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, it was wonderful to sing with you, and it is wonderful to conclude this day also. I think this is your, what? Your second full day, isn't it? Wonderful. I can see it's such a good atmosphere, and I must say, in comparison to other Pandavasena trips which I have visited, it is as lively as the other ones. You bring so much positive energy which make the gray hair disappear from my what is it called? Left and right side of the head. But I feel there's more genuine interest in spiritual progress, in spiritual upliftment. I really can see that you are very, I would say, inquisitive, or let me say, very interested, and it's a wonderful spiritual atmosphere with you. You're really doing absolutely good, and please keep on with this intense pace, or this good Krishna conscious pace for the following days, where there are many more interactions, and I think we will hear now from Shiv and Ami what is prepared for us. Let us patiently hear.